Might remember. The word awesome was a very popular word. But just like any other word that becomes trendy, you just about kill the sacredness of the word, right? And I mean, everything was just about awesome. I mean, your girlfriend was awesome. I hope you think your girlfriend is awesome. But then again, your truck is awesome. Right? And your favorite movie is awesome. Even your, McDouble burgers and greasy fries are awesome. Yeah, I like burger. Yeah, it's good. So one day, the kids in my youth group, I was a youth pastor at the time, they decided that enough was enough. And so they started to proclaim to whoever would listen, only God is awesome. I'm not sure how they were infected by this. A good infection, right? Only God is awesome. And so they would, reprimand their peers. Anytime, their peers would use the word awesome, they say, well, only God is awesome, right? And they would scold their parents. Only God is awesome. And So I think these kids were kind of on to something. So my concern this morning is about restoring the sense of awe and wonder of Jesus in our lives. But I think we need to think back for a moment. First of all of us are created to wonder. All of us are created to wonder. Sorry, I got no slides. No time for that. All of us were created to wonder. God made us this way. The teacher of Ecclesiastes said, God has put eternity into the heart of man. We can't help but wonder about the meaning of life. We can't help but wonder if there's more to life than the price of oil or how well our stocks are doing, etc. God made us to yearn and wonder for something more. And usually it's in the categories of intimacy. I want to get closer. Or fellowship. Or purpose. Hope. Love. Authenticity. You're yearning for something more. And it's built into all of us. Even this really dead guy by the name of Socrates, some 2,500 years ago, said this. Wonder is the beginning of wisdom. The fact that we wonder suggests that we as human beings long for something much greater than what we have. Not only do we all wonder, but secondly, all of creation proclaims the wonder of God. So Romans chapter 1. Paul says this, but since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature has been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There are said to be about 10 trillion stars in the known universe. And there's probably a universe that we haven't even discovered. So 10 trillion, that is 10 followed by 15 zeros. We can only see a small part as we gaze into the night sky, and every star proclaims the wonder and glory of God. And so when God spoke, all this came into existence. And that's why we use the word wonderful. It's just beyond our imagination of how incredible it is. Now, we know the universe best by one star, the sun. One single star. Every minute, the sun pours out 6 billion quadrillion calories of heat. That is 6 followed by 27 zeros. Every minute. So it's no wonder King David said, The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of their hands. I became a dad for the very first time. 27 years ago? Hope I did the math right. Yeah? Okay, good. And change. And the birth of our daughter woke me up to the wonder of God in a brand new way. Her birth alone was incredible to me. My joy was through the roof, and I couldn't stop yapping with anyone who would hear me out. Even the, you know, lady at Walmart, as she rang through my stuff, I had to tell her, right? As she lay in her crib, fast asleep, I just didn't want to leave her. I just want to gaze at her beauty. The wonder of God's hand was all over this child. And then my next child, and our next child. Then as all my kids began to talk and explore, their vigor, their excitement for life was positively infectious. What was so ordinary to me, because, you know, I've seen kids all my life, you know. But then they're my kids, right in front of me, seeing their beauty, their humor, everything about them. And so I remember God using my children to restore a sense of awe of God in my life. Then my kids became teenagers, but that's another story. Thirdly, the wonder of creation cannot satisfy our wondering souls. Let me say that again. The wonder of creation cannot satisfy our wandering souls. In fact, all of creation was never meant to complete us. But for so many people, this is where it all ends for them. Creation. That's it. That's where they're trying to find their meaning. Paul says, Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. All of creation was meant to be a signpost to point us to the wonder and awe of God. But wondering souls, moved by the beauty of creation, looking for the spiritual, searching for meaning, are too easily satisfied with creation itself. As wonderful as God's created world, there is something beyond that. So we live in the selfie generation. We've been kicking, that's, you know, that's not a new word. Maybe it's already an old word, right? Selfie generation. And we are selfish because by nature, we want to protect ourselves. But we are too easily satisfied with things and positions and advancements, sexuality, big money, people, etc. As wonderful as the advancements of science and psychology are, we are still left to wonder. Here we are in this modern age, and we are still left to wonder. Something more? Is there something more out there? We're still looking for greater intimacy and beauty, and so we still wonder because nothing in creation can completely fill us. So where does this signpost of the created world point? The ultimate awe and wonder of life is that our big and beautiful God, our Creator, came in human flesh to complete our wondering souls. Let me say that again. The ultimate awe and wonder of life is that our big and beautiful God came to us in human flesh to complete our wondering souls. So in 1 John, John chapter 1, that is, Apostle John profoundly said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." Then in verse 14, same chapter, John says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only God who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So John is saying, the Word, who is Jesus, has always been there from the beginning. He's eternal. He was with God, and not only that, he is God. In fact, he made the world that we live in. But this wonderful, glorious, beautiful Creator God thought about us. He thought about you. He stooped into our world and became one of us, but without our selfishness. He thought about Mary as a young girl without much significance. He thought about the insignificant shepherds who lived at the bottom of the social heap. He thought about the sick and the rejected. God laid aside his glory and he became a humble servant. He came as a child. He grew up and he died the death that we deserved, not only to forgive our sins, but to give us his Holy Spirit so that in our lives we could reflect and participate in the true wonder of God. We are image bearers of God, the reason why God made us in the first place. It's an amazing, indescribable gift. So you and I believe in Jesus because you believe him to be true. This intellectual understanding is critical, but you know, I come across people all the time who believe in Jesus or who say they believe in Jesus. But the awe and wonder of Jesus is non-existent. The wonder of Jesus is right under their noses, but then they turn the other way. And so you and I need a regular refreshment of the awe and wonder of Jesus in our lives. And so we need to meditate on maybe what others did to renew this sense of wonder. The Gospel of Luke is sometimes called the Gospel of Amazement. And there are so many testimonies of everyday people who are moved by Jesus. And I think we can learn from their response. Their response should be our response. And when we stop being grateful, we stop living our lives in awe of God and what he has done, then the worries and the anxieties of our life basically take over. So as you think about restoring this awe and wonder of God, of Jesus in your life, let's reflect on some of the responses of some of these everyday people. Then there's Mary and the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, first of all says, "And Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they have been told." So when I look at Mary, I think of her as an introvert. Any introverts exist here in the house? Yeah, at least half of you. Her way of responding to God was quiet. Isn't that nice? Introverts? You mean you don't have to yell and scream to be in awe of God? No. You can be quiet. She took time to treasure and ponder within her heart the amazement of receiving God's incredible gift of mercy and grace. So I encourage you, as we begin this Advent season, to take time for quiet. I know this is the most yakety time of the year, perhaps, but I mean that. Take time for quiet so that your heart can actually absorb all that Jesus has done for you. The wonder is already there. It's about responding to it. And on the other hand, there's the shepherds who just couldn't keep it in, right? They returned to their homes, what does it say? Praising God for all they had seen and heard. Everything the angels said to them came true. And so now these guys are completely convinced. Remember, they're just petrified. They're scared. They're afraid. And now they're out praising God and sharing with anyone who would hear them out. So there's a time for quiet, but then there is a time to let it out. And so you behold the wonder of God by praising Him and by telling others about the hope you have in Jesus Christ. You're expressing the wonder of the gift of Jesus. That will help to keep the wonder of Jesus alive in your souls when you think of others that may not know about the hope. Then there was the paralyzed man who was healed. This is Luke chapter 5, 25 to 26. It says, immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. This is after Jesus healed him, of course. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Now, Jesus didn't heal everyone. But miracles like this one simply tell us that God's kingdom rule has now arrived. Jesus is saying, Israel, all that you have longed for has now become a reality. Sickness and devastating illness will not define you. Instead, be in awe of God, because even those who are sick or handicapped in some way are not forgotten by God. God uses whom the world rejects to bring Him glory. So maybe, are you sick in some way? Do you feel lowly in some way? Even you can behold the wonder of God. Be in wonder of God, because one day God promises that there will be no more tears or sickness or death. Let that reality fill your soul. Jesus rebuked an impure spirit and healed a boy. Luke 9:43. And they were amazed at the greatness of God. You know, this healing reminds us of the greater cosmic spiritual battle. At the cross, Satan was defeated. Even though he continues to assault the church, this little story is a reminder of things present and to come. Satan will be completely silenced. Hang in there. Be amazed by what Jesus has done, already done, and be in wonder when Jesus comes again. Satan will be no more. The worries of life may confront you, but learn to live in awe of Jesus, of who He is, and what He's done, and what He's going to do. Right? That's what brings hope. Be refreshed by God's Holy Spirit again and again and again. Well, why don't we just be in silence, and we'll prepare for the Lord's Supper. And so let's just pray, then have a few thoughts, and then we'll partake. Lord Jesus, help us to be people who respond in awe of who you are and what you've done. Some of us like to go and go hard, and yet we miss out that life is about you and what you've done for us in Jesus and coming to this world. You are the true purpose and meaning of life, and you are the one who gives us intimacy, fellowship, hope, purpose. And so may we be in awe of you. Teach us to be responders of your grace to us. Perhaps some of us need to be like a Mary who became quiet and pondered all that she had seen and heard as she witnessed the birth of her child, who is God's Son. Perhaps, Lord, we need to be people who need to express the hope we have by sharing, by doing, by thinking about others in our world that need you so desperately. Maybe we need to be doing that more. And teach us, Lord, to have this awe and this wonder, a desire to know you and to walk in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at the table, the communion table once again, I just want to call tables on this side this time, but I want to call it the end table, right? So all of us have a, well, maybe not all of you, but in my house we have end tables, and they're usually at the end of your couch or beside your chair. Maybe that's why they call it an end table. And, you know, we use it to either put on a lamp. That's where I put my coffee, books, or whatever. But the Lord's table is an end table in more significant ways. As we drink from the cup and eat the piece of bread, it reminds us that when Jesus died on the cross, it spelt the end of Satan's claim on the human race. So think about that end. It spelt the end of Satan's claim on the human race. That is why Jesus said while dying on the cross, "It is finished. The end has come. True forgiveness of sins is now made possible through Christ. In Jesus, we find true freedom, and condemnation and spiritual enslavement has come to an end in Jesus." But maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor Dan, it really doesn't feel like Satan's been defeated. It really doesn't feel that way. I mean, I see trouble all around me. It doesn't feel like the end of anything. In fact, I see more trouble. This world's in a state of chaos and hopelessness, you ask and wonder. And you ask a fair question. But Jesus also said these words. This is Matthew 26:29. He says, "Mark my words. I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So what's Jesus talking about here? Right? He's going through the Last Supper with them. And then he says these words at the end. Well, Jesus not only prophetically in that moment spoke about his impending death, but he was also talking about a full realization of salvation hope that still lies in our future. God's kingdom will be completed when all of God's people in Jesus will eat and drink with joy at the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what Jesus is referring to. And so each time we sit at the table, so to speak, we're not just looking back at Jesus' death and resurrection, but with faith and hope, we are anchoring ourselves in the certainty of Jesus' triumphant return when God finishes what he began. So I know we tend to usually emphasize the looking back to the cross, but we're forgetting these words in the gospel where Jesus inserts this. And by the way, this will be my last time partaking with you on earth. But then I will come again. And when we have that supper together with Jesus, that will be the sign that the final completion of the kingdom is done. Right? So this communion table is powerful. This end table is powerful because it says there will be a true end. The kingdom has begun in Jesus. We live in faith and we live in hope. Is it tough? Yeah, it's tough sometimes. But Jesus is saying, hang on, friends. I will finish what I began. And so as we partake this morning, let's remember that. Let's be in awe of what God has done through Jesus becoming flesh, becoming a child, and then dying for our sins. But also the sense of awe that Jesus is coming again, where he will meet with his faithful and begin a whole new life and a whole new created earth, heaven and earth, and where we will fellowship with God through Jesus forever. So I just want to invite you this morning as you come forward. If you know the Lord Jesus, come and meditate on those thoughts. And take a cup of juice and bread. Return to your seats and worship, and then we'll partake together. So let me just pray. Lord, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for the fact that you will bring all things to an end. Or better yet, to its completion. A wonderful conclusion and completion. All that you have promised through Jesus Christ. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
that you rose. All of heaven held its breath till that stone was moved for good. For the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who'd come to the Father.
Invite you to stand with us if you're able as we reflect on that promise of the coming of Christ and our time forever with Him.
How I long to breathe the prayer of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the stream. Look upon the one who bled to save me, and walk with him for all eternity.
Let's do that again.
I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations